Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhymes record break neck spines and vertebrae, the bowling plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect, all I need is a check. Mike, check.
The Memphis Grizzlies return from their All-Star break coming up soon enough, ladies and gentlemen. Friday night, it's going to be a beautiful thing to see the Memphis Grizzlies back in action. I know I miss them. I know you miss them. I know that we miss them, and I know that you missed GBB Live. We are back ourselves, of course. I am host Joe Mullinax. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully you joined us earlier in the week for our new podcast, You Like Hoop. We'll be recording live. That'll just be kind of recorded on the side, as most podcasts are, and then we'll be uploaded. It's been an exciting week for the podcast at our at GBB, grizzlybearblues.com, and this is the second show of the week. Again, the flagship, the more standard Grizzlies basketball show is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. And again, I am your host, Joe Mullinax, site manager over at grizzlybearblues.com. Thank you, as always, for joining us. I hope you're well rested. I hope you have your legs back under you after the All-Star break as the Memphis Grizzlies prepare for a 24-game sprint to the finish as they more than likely get set for the 2017 NBA playoffs. It would take some sort of cataclysmic event for them to not make the playoffs at this point. And I don't want to think about that, and neither do you, I am sure. So welcome. Excited to have you back with us, and we're excited for the show this week. Ways to get in touch with the program. You can get into the chat room as we speak. If you're listening to the live recording on Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio, you can go into the chat. If you have a question for myself, if you have a question for our great guest tonight, you can shoot them there. I moderate the chat room. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at GBB Live. That's a great way to get information about the show. We're making an announcement about our sponsor, for example, tonight, that you can get further information on if you follow GBB Live moving forward. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax, M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X. And you can follow the site, grizzlybearblues.com, on Twitter at SBN Grizzlies. All great ways to get in touch with the podcast. The plan for this evening, only one guest, but it's a great guest. Excited to have him on the show for the first time. I've been setting it up for a while. Schedules have always kind of conflicted. He is a very busy man, so I'm totally understanding of that and excited to have him on. John Martin, he is the co-host of the terrific newish show, not even necessarily that new anymore. Jason and John over on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis, airs from 11 to 2 over on 92.9. And obviously we've had several great guests, Jeff Calkins, Eric Hasseltine, Ben Hogan, Jeffrey Wright just last week. So a lot of great guests from the 92.9 radio station. Excited to have John Martin to add to that list. So we'll talk with John Martin about the trade deadline. We'll talk about Marc Gasol and his All-Star game performance, why so many people seem to hate Chandler Parsons. And we'll also take a look at second half expectations and preview the next three games for the Grizzlies between now and our next recording. So all of that is coming up, and we are excited, as I mentioned, to get right into it on our podcast this week here at GBB Live with the co-host of the Jason and John show on 92.9 FM ESPN in Memphis. His name is John Martin. John, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Glad we can finally make this happen. Glad to be here, man.
No, I appreciate it. Like I said, I know you're busy. You've been starting a new show, obviously, and the show's doing very well. You guys had a tremendous episode, I believe it was just today, right? You had Jason Williams on the show, and you had somebody else who, forgive me, it's on the tip of my tongue.
We had Michael Smith today. Michael
there
Smith
you go.
It was
Michael Smith from ESPN. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Michael Smith and Jason Williams, that's a hell of a guest list, man.
No, it was a good day, and I was obviously really. I mean, if we could have had one guest, and as long as it was Jason Williams, my day and week would have been made. Really quickly on Jason Williams, I mean, that dude, man, when you think about the Grizzlies, man, Jason Williams, he is he was something special, and he was really fun. And obviously, when all is said and done, we'll remember this core four for, you know, the success and the playoff success, the Western Conference Finals run, and the continued brilliance. But, man, those Jason Williams teams were fun. They didn't win. They didn't win the playoffs, but they were fun.
They were enjoyable to watch, and I think that the commercial appeal polls, they did the variety of polls over the All-Star break. I think one of them involved the most entertaining Grizzly to watch, and Jason Williams was a top vote getter. He would have gotten my vote, and I wasn't even a Grizzlies fan at that time, but, you know, just kind of going back and watching old clips, he was remarkable to watch play, the way that he was able to pass the basketball and, you know, the flashes of brilliance that he would show. I'm with you on Jason Williams. I think Marc Gasol is probably steadily climbing up that list. He might be number one of these days, but Jason Williams is a solid choice, and that was a pretty cool segment on your guys' show today. So Jason Williams and Michael Smith, that's a good day. Depending on who you ask, John, the Grizzlies had a good or bad day on trade deadline day. They had competitors in their division, like Nerlens Noel going to the Dallas Mavericks, obviously Lou Williams earlier in the week going to the Houston Rockets. You saw some moves being made within the division. Obviously, teams in the conference got better as well. The Grizzlies kind of stood pat. They signed Tony Douglas for the rest of the year, as many people expected, and they also decided to stick with the team as currently constructed, at least going into the offseason here in the next few months. How do you feel about the trade deadline? Do you think there was a trade that stood out to you that was really good, maybe one we didn't just mention in that little rundown there? Do you think there was one that was particularly bad? And then, obviously, we're not necessarily surprised that the Grizzlies were quiet. That was kind of the assumption all along. But should they have been quiet? Do you think they needed a move to really kind of compete in the West?
Well, I think the winner of the trade deadline is Oklahoma City. I think Oklahoma City got a lot better with Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson. Taj Gibson is, you know, an underrated player. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not going to be a 15 and 10 guy, but, you know, in terms of a low post presence, you know, he's going to go out and get you boards. You know, I really think Taj Gibson is a really good player. Doug McDermott, I mean, I think he's going to thrive in Oklahoma City as that bench scorer. So I think they got a lot better. And I think the jury's very much out on how good campaign is going to be. I mean, I think he showed flashes, you know, as a backup point guard, but I'm not heartbroken. If I'm an Oklahoma City fan, I'm not heartbroken about having to part ways with him, because, you know, I think the ceiling just got raised with those two, Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott, and when, you know, Enes Kanter comes back, that's going to be a good team. They got better. I mean, they might have gotten one or two spots better in the West, and I think that's bad news for the Grizzlies. The Pelicans, obviously, going out and grabbing DeMarcus Cousins. I'm not as bullish on them as the rest of the nation seems to be. I think there's a lot that we need to figure out with that roster. You know, I think if you look at the nucleus, which is Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins, and Drew Holiday, that's great. Like, that's a great nucleus. I'd put that nucleus up against just about any other nucleus in the NBA, but they have nothing outside of that. I mean, you're basically banking on Etuan Moore and Solomon Hill. Like, that's trash. That's not good. That's not a good team. So they're a good player away from realizing their potential. The Rockets grabbing Lou Williams, I think, is good. It makes sense for an unprotected pick. You know, I don't think it changed anything for them. I think they're probably going to do in the end what they were always going to do before nabbing Lou Williams. Like, Twitter told me we were supposed to hand the trophy to the Rockets after they grabbed Lou Williams. I mean, that's fine if you want to double down on having no defensive identity. I get it, but I don't think anything changes for them. I think Chicago, if we're talking about bad and the losers of this, I think Chicago gave up probably a little more than I would have expected for campaign. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty mundane trade deadline. We didn't see Paul George moved. Jimmy Butler stayed put. You know, Carmelo. There was real no real drama once we got past Boogie. As far as the Grizzlies go, would I have liked to have seen them make a move? Yeah, but I mean, you know the roster, Joe. You know what the salary cap looks like. You know what their salary situation is. Like, they don't really have anybody they could send away that would be worth it. You know, JaMychal Green's making under $1 million. He's probably your most tradable asset, and he's making $1 million. You're not going to ship away Zach Randolph. You're not going to ship away Tony Allen. Brendan Wright makes like $5, $6, $7 million a year. You're not going to get a player back that's worth doing that. So I didn't really expect much activity from the Grizzlies. I think they're fine. Like it all comes down to Chandler Parsons. I think that's what this trade deadline reinforces, is that as Oklahoma City goes out and gets better, New Orleans goes out and gets better, Dallas is going to be fine. Like, Nerlens Noel is not going to change the course of their franchise. But teams currently underneath you have gotten better, and there's nothing you can really do. You're sort of strapped. And so you really, really, really need Chandler Parsons to be half. I'll take half the player you thought he was going to be when you made a deal. And I think that's what we rediscovered and learned today, I think.
When you look at the Eastern Conference, I think that the Toronto Raptors would be the winners for me. And it's not even necessarily even including just the deadline of today, because obviously they made the trade for Serge Ibaka earlier on. But between Serge Ibaka, between P.J. Tucker from the Phoenix Suns today, I think they loaded up as best they could to try to beat the Cavaliers, and I think they have a better shot today than they did a week or so ago to do that. Now LeBron James is still the king. You have a healthy Kevin Love coming back by the playoffs, Kyrie, obviously all that stuff. It's still Cleveland's to lose, but I think Toronto did the best job with an honorable mention for the Wizards getting Bogdanovich from the Nets. I think that those are teams that kind of position themselves to at least be more competitive in the East. The Grizzlies not making a move, like you said, not surprising. It makes me nervous looking at OKC. I believe it was Chris Harrington who tweeted out that of the four teams kind of in that muddle between 4 and 7, Clippers, Jazz, Grizzlies, and the Thunder have the easiest road or the easiest post-All-Star schedule. Plus, they now have gotten better with Taj Gibson. I agree with you on Gibson. How crazy is it that Taj Gibson, you can argue, was the best player moved on actual trade deadline day? I think that speaks to how underrated, well, first off, how low the star quality was of the actual trade deadline day. Boogie was easily the biggest star that was moved, but not on the deadline. And I think it does speak to how underrated Gibson is. I agree with you completely on that. I think OKC got a lot better, and it'll be interesting to see how the Grizzlies are able to respond within themselves. They're really looking at internal development and internal improvement. They've said over and over again that they view Tony Douglas, which I completely disagree with, and Brandon Wright, which is fair, as their acquisitions, whether it be Douglas signing, signing for the year now after a couple of 10 days, and obviously Brandon Wright getting healthy. Chandler Parsons is an excellent point, and that'll lead us into talking about the angst and the disdain that's out there. The latest thing I saw on Twitter before coming onto the podcast, apparently he dates the Chrisley daughter now, Chrisley from Chrisley Knows Best or whatever. The anger and it's really getting out of hand at this point. Why do you think there is so much disdain? Because I did an article about Chandler that posted yesterday, and it got a pretty good bit of traction, did well for the site. But I think part of that is because everybody does enjoy to hate Chandler Parsons, at least to an extent. I'm one of the ones that called for the Grizzlies to sign him in the first place. So I'm not on the board of hating him, but I know that there's people that are frustrated. I know there's people that believe that he wasn't worth the contract that he signed when he signed it. So I give those people a little bit more credit because they at least have stood by their opinion. He clearly hasn't lived up to that. But to me, a lot of the disdain ties into thinking that he's not trying, or thinking that he cares more about trying to ask women to flash him on Instagram than being a good basketball player. And while he makes poor choices on Instagram, like the one I just mentioned, I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive or connected. Jeff Calkins wrote the Take Five about, Chandler Parsons being smarter on social media. But then Chandler Parsons posts a picture, with strength conditioning coach that goes with him on these Cancun vacations. And there's not a ton of comments about that. Now, obviously, on Wednesday, there were a ton of comments about him being the last in the gym, which was a bit overblown, I think. You could tell that maybe they were trying to rally behind Chandler over at FedEx Forum. But there's a lot of angst towards Chandler Parsons. It was on the site this week. Clearly, it's on Twitter, and it's in Grizz Nation. It's one of the dominant storylines. Why do you think there is so much disdain for Chandler?
Because he's not producing, and that's it.
Bingo.
I think, and I've made this point on the show, like, people in New England love Rob Gronkowski. Like, they love him. They adore him.
That's a good example.
Because he scores 17 touchdowns a year, right? Like, it's all good as long as you produce to the amount of money that you make. Like, that's it. Like, it's that simple. So, Chandler Parsons takes up a massive percentage of the salary cap, right? 4 years, $94 million. Like, if he does not pan out, and if he is not the player that the Grizzlies hoped he would be, then it's going to cripple the franchise. And that's a risk, that's a calculated risk that they were willing to take because, listen, they're in a win-now situation. And I don't fault that for that. I don't fault them for that. And that's why hopefully we don't get to that point. But when we do, if and when we do, you know, I do think that it's a tricky territory because I cannot fault the Grizzlies for the risk. Because what else are you going to do? You know, sign Evan Turner?
Not a good option.
What are you going to do? Or Wes Johnson? I mean, so I get it, man. And your franchise is going to be, you know, in a bad spot with either of those decisions. So you might as well take a chance on the guy with, in theory, the most upside. But I think in terms of the angst and I don't know if people hate him. I think they're sick of him. That's all rooted in the fact that he makes so much money and is supposed to be a premier marquee player for this team. And he's putting up 40-year-old Vince Carter numbers. And I think that is the biggest qualm that they're right to have it. You know, when they see, you know, he's on a minute restriction, but he's heading off to Cancun the very second he gets an opportunity to do that. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating for Grizzlies fans. But again, if he was putting up, you know, if he had, you know, 25-point games, you know, if he was averaging 13-7 instead of, you know, 6-4 and he wasn't playing in fourth quarters, you know, if that was the case, then I don't think we're not even discussing this. But because he's not living up to the contract, that's why we're talking about this.
Chatting with John Martin, the co-host of Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at JohnMartin929. This is GBB Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. You mentioned earlier in the show talking about if Chandler Parsons could just get to 50%, because I agree with you. Aside from a couple of games, I don't think we've seen half of what he is capable of. So that 50% number is a solid number to start with. Do you see him reaching a point to where he is going to be, even if he's not even necessarily able to get off of the minutes restriction, hopefully he can play through four quarters. Hopefully he can, you know, get up to 28 to 30 minutes. Maybe you don't, you know, unleash him like you would unleash Marc Gasol in the playoffs. He probably plays 40 plus minutes. You're not going to see that with Parsons, especially not this season. Do you think he has the capabilities? And again, we don't have his medical records in front of us. We don't have a Grizzlies trainer telling us, you know, where he's at in terms of their process. But do you see him turning it around this season? And, you know, I've seen more and more, whether it's on our Facebook page or on the blog itself, people calling for Chandler Parsons to come off the bench, which is interesting to me. You assume that replacing him with James Ennis makes the team that much better. And I think that we've seen in games that Parsons hasn't played, it doesn't necessarily make them that much better with or without him, and that's kind of my argument for continuing the process with Chandler. Say it's April 1st, John, and you're 2 weeks from the playoffs starting, and Parsons is maybe a little bit better than he is right now, but not still anywhere near you thought he would be. Should Fizdale have a hard line of benching him at a certain point? Should there be a time where you bring Parsons off the bench or maybe just shut him down for the year overall?
Well, okay, so on the bench question, I think that's a stupid suggestion because he needs to develop a rhythm with that starting unit because that's who he's going to be playing with. Coming off the bench doesn't really help him. How does that benefit Chandler playing with the second unit? He's going to be a second unit player. He's going to be playing with Mark. He's going to be playing with Mike. He needs to develop a rapport and some chemistry with those guys. And James, I mean, really, we've reached the point where we're calling for James Ennis to start. Like he's not – it's very interchangeable in terms of a not healthy Chandler Parsons and James Ennis. Like, that, to me, you're looking at this from a long-term view. And you want Chandler Parsons to be able to build some rapport, build some chemistry with Mike and Mark. That's ultimately the goal. So bringing them off the bench doesn't it doesn't help that. It doesn't address that. So, no, he should not come off the bench. Secondly, in terms of shutting him down for the season, the only way I would do that is if, you know, if it's like a Mark situation before, you know, when Mark broke his foot, they had an idea, like he was sore. He had soreness. There was sort of some indicators that, you know, hey, maybe he should not be playing tonight. Like he's got some ailments, man. And then he breaks his foot. In the end, man, it's injuries happen, and you can't always prevent them. You know, if there is a preventative injury and you feel like, hey, we cannot afford to lose another year with this guy and he's not really giving you anything anyway, yeah, I do think it's probably shrewd to go ahead and shut him down. We've had that conversation. But you get in the business of trying to predict things and forecast, hey, when an injury is going to happen. Like, you can't. Like, Mike Conley, you know, broke his back, you know, when he hit a guy's knee. Like, sometimes in a high-speed, high-octane game of basketball, like, things are going to happen. So I think the answers I would have is it makes no sense to me to bring him off the bench when you're trying to see the full picture, you know, of the Mark, Mike, and Chandler lineup, and you need as many minutes with that as you can have. And B, the only consideration I would give to shutting him down would be if, you know, I know that there's an opportunity he could re-enter something.
You're playing the long game with Chandler Parsons. I said earlier this week on an appearance I did, you know, Tony Allen and Zach Randolph, two guys, and we don't need to get into this, but the Memphis, being Memphis enough thing that people mm-hmm. are getting tired of, and probably rightfully so. But, you know, those two guys are connected to that. But at the same time, those two guys are not going to be Memphis Grizzlies 3 years from now. You know who's going to be a Memphis Grizzly 3 years from now, more than likely? Chandler Parsons. So you need mm-hmm. to invest, like you mentioned, Conley and Gasol. Those are the guys that Parsons is going to see the time with. That is the new core, quote-unquote, those three max contract players, and there's going to be pieces put around them. For better or worse, I like the signing still, even with the injury, because I see the long term, like you mentioned. I agree with you on that. You have to continue to invest in that, and you have to be smart about it. So I think that they're handling it the right way, and it's just going to come down to patience, which Grizzlies fans seem to be struggling with. Speaking of a guy that people have been patient with, and he has developed from the fat kid at Lausanne High School all the way to all-NBA big man, Marc Gasol represented the Grizzlies very well at All-Star Weekend this past weekend down in New Orleans. He did a terrific job. The article I posted on All-Star Sunday said that Marc Gasol is the greatest Memphis Grizzly of all time. The numbers back that up, advanced numbers, the way obviously he's a three-time All-Star, likely three-time All-NBA player. He's a former Defensive Player of the Year. He's reinvented his game. He's really added years to his game now that he's more perimeter-based. I think he's the greatest Memphis Grizzly ever. I think other people do as well. You can make arguments for Powell, obviously. Zach Randolph certainly gets consideration. Mike Conley, even. To me, it's those four that would be your Mount Rushmore, so to speak, at this stage. Do you think Marc Gasol is the greatest Memphis Grizzly ever?
Yeah, I don't even know how you could argue it, you know? I mean, because he's probably going to make one or two more All-Star games before all is said and done, you know, as long as he has his health. You know, I think the amazing thing about Mark is, and what sets him apart from Powell, is the winning, man. Like his arrival is what really set this off. And obviously Zach Randolph to another degree, but just everything that Mark does on the floor, man, offensively, defensively, you know, the fact that he is the Grizzlies' only three-time All-Star. I mean, there's no, you know, can you make a case for most beloved Grizzly? Like, I think Zach Randolph is probably the most beloved Memphis Grizzly of all time. But in terms of, the, you know, the best Memphis Grizzly of all time, like, who would I pick first? Without question. He's got the bona fides. He's got the credentials. He's got the numbers. Coming back from that injury, man. I mean, listen, I remember it was literally, Joe, I mean, you know, it was a year ago. We were talking about Marc Gasol in the same conversation as Yao Ming and Joel Embiid. This was before Joel Embiid was, you know, on court. You know, it was very depressing. We thought we'd never see that level of Marc Gasol again. And in fact, what we got, I think Marc Gasol is playing his, I think he is playing his best basketball this season, the way he's expanded his game. So I think without question, I don't know how you make the argument with a straight face that there's ever been a Memphis Grizzly better than Marc Gasol.
He's scoring three more points per game than he did when he was the first team All-NBA player. He is really remarkable, like you mentioned, the return from the injury. That is really being underscored, understated. People aren't really acknowledging that, and that's fascinating to me because that, like you mentioned, Joel Embiid before, obviously he came out this year and had a terrific year. Yao Ming, this time last season, people were terrified thinking that we may never see Marc Gasol play well ever again, and that might tank the franchise. And here he is reinventing himself, David Fizdale helping in that process. And now you're looking at a guy who is still a very good defender who you can build scheme around still. A center, or having a center, a big man like Gasol that can space the floor the way that he can now, that's massive for this Grizzlies offense moving forward as you get guys who can slash and cut and play off of the pick and roll. I mean, you might start seeing Marc Gasol, Brandon Wright pick and pop combinations. You've already seen some glimpses of that. So it really just adds a layer of versatility to the offense that hasn't been there before. I do think that you make a fair point about most beloved, and there's a difference. Zach Randolph's easily the most beloved Grizzly.
Right.
He's a guy that, you know, we're doing a Moments in Grizzstory video series over at the site, and he's the focus, the big three that he hit in the Spurs series. You know, we're looking for people that were in the building that night to contribute to the series. He was, you know, that's one of the genesis moments of this group of guys who will have jerseys hanging in the rafters likely eventually and, you know, statues perhaps outside of FedEx Forum. When you think Grizzlies basketball, like you mentioned earlier, you know, Jason Williams is a big part of the history before all of this. Pau Gasol, Shane Battier, James Posey, the list goes on and on. But these guys are the ones that people are really going to be looked at and say, wow, those were the golden years. And hopefully there's stuff beyond that that'll be better. But at the same time, people will look back fondly on this time in large part because of what Zach Randolph did as a Memphis Grizzly. But there's a difference between most beloved and best. And Marc Gasol, in my opinion, I agree with you. There's no question at this stage. He is the best Memphis Grizzly of all time. We're chatting with John Martin of 92.9 FM, ESPN Memphis. He's the co-host of Jason and John. Make sure you follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at John Martin 929. The Grizzlies are 34-24 as we record this, John. They are currently the sixth seed in the Western Conference. We briefly mentioned how they're kind of in a spot. OKC got a lot better at the trade deadline. The Jazz are young, inexperienced, but definitely talented and deep, especially with veterans on their bench. Of course, the Clippers are likely to get Chris Paul back in the next day or so. Blake Griffin just returned. So there's improvement occurring, whether it be, you know, within with the Jazz and their youth, whether it's getting healthy for the Clippers and whether it's by the trade deadline by OKC. And then you have Memphis, who you mentioned it all rests on Chandler Parsons. So what are your expectations for the second half of the season? What are you hoping for Memphis record-wise? Last week on the show, I said I'm thinking 14-10, and from other estimates I've heard from people, that might be a bit conservative, but I do think they're going to continue the process with Parsons. I think they're going to value rest and getting guys healthy and making sure they're healthy into the playoffs over potential playoff seed. I think that would be a smart investment. So you might see Marc Gasol sit in a game that, you know, fans will get mad. Oh, they could have won. They could have won. And Mark sat. Well, again, they're playing the long game here. They're looking ahead to a healthy playoff team being more valuable perhaps to them than playing against the Jazz instead of the Clippers or the Thunder instead of the Jazz, you know, whatever it may be. So I'm going 14-10. That would put them at 48-34. I think that keeps them in the 5-6 seed range. I don't think they'll fall to the 7. But it's possible. Like you mentioned, OKC got a lot better. So what are your second half expectations for the Grizzlies? What are you hoping for Memphis record-wise? Where do you see them kind of falling in the Western Conference seedings, standings?
I think that's about right. You know, I think the four is probably going to end up being out of reach. They're two games back right now. Clippers getting back Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. I think that's going to make it tough. And we've seen the Grizzlies they tread water. They've been treading water here for, you know, the last couple of weeks. And I hate to say it, but it just all rests on the health of Chandler Parsons. And we just don't have any evidence or indication that it's going to be immediately better. So they're going to be who they've been, you know, barring some miracle. And I think that's probably going to translate into the 5 or the 6. And I think if that happens, I haven't gone and I haven't charted, you know, every game. Now there are some favorable games in here. You know, they play the Pacers tomorrow night. Thaddeus Young may or may not play, and that organization is kind of in a weird state right now. Paul George, you know, was going to be dealt, then he wasn't. So you could win that game. You know, you've got the Nuggets at home on Sunday. You got a game against the Suns. You play the Mavericks twice. You play the Suns. I mean, so there are definitely some winnable games. You play the Kings twice. So you definitely have – I mean, the schedule has lightened up significantly. So there's definitely an opportunity here to make a run. But I would say given – I don't know how quickly it will all come together in Oklahoma City, and I haven't broken down their schedule either. But I would guess they probably end up finishing in the 5 or the 6 range, and that's perfectly okay. That's about where they were supposed to finish. And I think if that is the case, depending on who the 4 is, you know, I think a first-round matchup with the Clippers, the Jazz, or the Rockets, however that all shakes out, like I think you take those first-round matchups. I really do. I think the Rockets are a little bit more of a challenge defensively now, especially with adding Lou Williams on the bench and Aaron Gordon's having a great year. But, like, you played well against the Rockets. You know, you could push them in a series. You know, I don't know. You'd obviously probably feel better about the Clippers, you know, given your history with them, and you certainly match up probably a little bit better with them. But I think if you end up as the 5 or the 6, like, you're not going into the series feeling like all is lost. You're going in feeling like, okay, you know, if we take one game there, here or there, we can win the series. You fall into the 7, which could happen. I'm not going to rule it out, but you fall into the 7, that's a nightmare scenario, because we've seen what happens when the Grizzlies play the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard is in the game. It's ugly. And you can make the argument that, yeah, but the Grizzlies haven't had a player on the wing like Chandler Parsons. And listen, I think Chandler Parsons can impact the game without scoring. He's a great passer, and if he can, you know, if he can make things happen with his passing ability, like, you'll take that. But I don't want to see a Spurs Grizzlies first round series. I want to avoid that like the plague. So if they finish 5 or 6, you're going into the playoffs feeling all right, feeling like, okay, maybe we got a shot here to win a series.
The Spurs are nerve wracking, but I've been saying the same thing that you said there, John. If you can get Chandler Parsons going, you know, the checkmate has always been Kawhi Leonard defends Mike Conley and you're screwed. But if you can get Kawhi off of him because Danny Green can't stick Chandler Parsons, which seems, you know, Danny Green's a solid defender in his own right, so it's possible that never happens. But at the same time, if Chandler Parsons can get going, can be that third scoring threat, and Kawhi has to defend him because a smaller defender can't stay with Parsons, that frees up Conley. That makes you a little bit more competitive. But Kawhi is definitely the game changer for the Spurs. When you look at the way that the Grizzlies are currently structured, you look at their roster, who would you think, because again, they're about 11 deep at this point now that everybody's healthy. If you look at the minutes going forward, obviously, especially on the wing, you have Tony Allen, you have Chandler Parsons, whose minutes will only go up likely. You've got Troy Daniels, you've got James Ennis, you've got Vince Carter. That's 5 wings for 2 spots over the span of a 48-minute game. In the second half, do you think one of those guys becomes the odd man out? So who? In the past, it's been Troy Daniels.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to be Troy Daniels. I think Troy Daniels will simply be used as a specialist, which is fine, which is totally cool. You know, if he could be a worse version of Mike Miller was, you know, for that Miami Heat team. You just bring him in and he goes off for 15, 18 points, you know. I think that's you know what the wing combination is going to be. It's going to be Tony, it's going to be Chandler, it's going to be Vince, and it's going to be James Ennis. And they'll rotate in and out. I think Troy just doesn't do enough for you, especially in the playoffs. I think that's the sort of scary thought with him is, you know, when you get the playoff time, who's he going to defend? You know, that's a very important question. Now, I like him as I apologize for my dog there. I like him as a specialist. I really enjoy the idea of having a bona fide 3-point shooter who you can bring in off the bench situationally. But I think that's really what he boils down to is a situational matchup 3-point shooter type guy. I think that's pretty well been established by now.
It has to be. I think he is that 11th man. I think he's the odd man out. We'll get you out of here on this, John. Thank you for your time again. obviously they've put their eggs in the basket of Tony Douglas. They think he's the guy who's going to be their backup point guard. Maybe we see some Andrew Harrison at certain stages, especially if they give Conley a night off. You'll see Harrison again. But it looks like it's Douglas's job, at least for the rest of the season. How do you feel about Tony Douglas? Because a lot of Grizzlies fans think he's legitimate. Well, a legitimate reason that they're 8-3 in the 11 games he's played. To me, outside of a mid-range jumper, he's not really that much better than Andrew Harrison. But that's my essential thoughts on the matter in terms of not being overly impressed with Douglas. And I was kind of hopeful maybe they could swing for the fences, try to get a Darren Collison. Maybe Chandler Parsons could use his smartphone for something other than Instagram and hit up his boy Williams from Dallas, who seemingly is going to the Cavs as well. He probably should. Are you comfortable with Tony Douglas being that guy moving forward? Obviously, the Grizzlies are. Are you comfortable with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's okay. Like, he's a backup point guard, you know? Like, that's all. I mean, it's not like – I'm not – I know the Grizzlies are saying, man, look at the mid-season acquisition of Tony Douglas. But, like, you have to forgive me. You have to forgive me that I'm not very excited about Tony Douglas. Now, it's all – you know, it's all relative. Tony Douglas is better than Andrew Harrison, and that's good, but, like, that's it. Like, that's where it is. He's better than Andrew Harrison. He's got a little bit more experience, and that's about it. So you get a 30-year-old veteran, backup point guard. You trust him a little bit more than you would trust Andrew Harrison, but, like, you're not going to get, like, a 22-point game from Tony Douglas. Like, that's not what he is. He's just going to be steady. You feel a little bit more confident in his ability to run an offense when Mike's not in the game, or even when Mike is in the game, you play him off the ball. But, like, he's a backup point guard. He's, like, a career backup point guard. So that's it. And I'm not very thrilled. It just is what it is. He's better than Andrew Harrison, though, and that's a positive.
I'm not thrilled about it either, but the reason I've been able to come to grips with it, John, is at least David Fizdale, where Dave Yeager and Lionel Hollins before him didn't, at least Fizdale gave Harrison an opportunity. You know, there was a stretch of time there where Harrison was leading rookies in minutes played. So it wasn't for a lack of chances. Harrison had the opportunity to make it his job, and he just wasn't able to. He wasn't able to put the ball in the basket. And this game is and forever will be about buckets. And if you're not able to put the ball in the basket, then you're not going to be able to play regardless of your potential or your size as a combo guard or whatever it might be. So I'm okay with Tony Douglas mainly for that reason. They gave Harrison a chance, and that's all you can ask for. John, I asked for 35 minutes or so of your time, and you did a terrific job. Great first time on GBB Live. It is much appreciated, and we will certainly have you on in the future.
Yeah, man, enjoyed it, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. That's John Martin, the co-host of Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already, at JohnMartin929. We're finishing up Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and before I get to a preview of the week ahead, I want to give a shout-out to our great sponsor of the show, and it's a bit of a minor announcement here about our terrific sponsor. You know them as Fan Essentials. That's who I've been hyping for a while now, the terrific Grizzly subscription service, but they're actually going back to their roots. They were originally Grizzly Essentials. They were Grizzlies gear group first, and then they expanded to more teams and more sports, but they've decided to go back to the beginning and go back to the way things were originally. That's where they want their heart. That is where their heart is. That's where they want their focus to be. So they are using GBB Live as kind of a launching point for Grizz Essentials. They're going back to their original name. You'll be able to find all the great Grizzlies gear. That nothing changes there. Same subscription service, same great deal, same amazing gear that can come right to your door. They do a great job with that. They're just going back to being Grizzlies focused. So once again, Fan Essentials is going to be Grizz Essentials moving forward, and we're excited to still have them as a terrific sponsor of GBB Live. Mark and the folks over at Grizz Essentials do great work. So Fan Essentials is going back to their roots. They're going back to Grizz Essentials, and we're excited to still have that partnership here with them at GBB Live. The week ahead for the Grizzlies between now and our next recording, Thursday, March 2nd at 8 p.m. Central Time, same time next week when we record our next show. The Grizzlies, as John mentioned, John Martin, have the Indiana Pacers Friday night. That is their first game back from the All-Star break. That's going to be a tough one. Indiana's 20-10 at home this season, and that's pretty darn good. They're terrible on the road, the Pacers are, but they're very good at home. So that's going to be a hard one for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are also 2-7 when they have two or more days off this season. So Memphis is going to kind of be fighting uphill in that game, I think. But they have Denver on Sunday night. That is a game at mile high elevations. So that'll be hard. Nuggets and Nikola Jokic playing great basketball there in Denver. And then Tuesday, the Phoenix Suns come to FedEx Forum for the first game for the Grizzlies at home in Memphis in a couple of weeks. I foresee 2-1 there. I think the Grizzlies will go 2-1. They'll drop one of the two road games in the other. I personally pull off the Indiana win. In my preview, this is in my preview for the game on Friday over at GBB. I say that it's going to be the Chandler Parsons game. I probably jinx him, but my support of Chandler Parsons, if you've been following me in my blogging quote-unquote career, I'm a walking, talking jinx of Memphis Grizzlies wings. So it is what it is. I'm saying Chandler Parsons is going to have a good game. He's going to be one of the difference makers and help the Grizzlies grind out a win in Indiana. They'll probably drop against the Nuggets, and then I think they'll beat the Suns. So 2-1 is the major major goal for me over these next three games between now and our next podcast recording. Thank you so much to John Martin, co-host of Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis, for being my guest on this abbreviated version of the podcast this week. Thanks so much to Grizz Essentials for their terrific sponsorship. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at GBB Live if you don't already, and make sure you're subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, not just so you can get access to GBB Live when it becomes available if you can't catch the live recording, but so you can get access to our new podcasts that are beginning to roll out after the All-Star break. We had our first episode of You Like Hoops with host Chase Lucas premiere this week. It's gotten good reviews. It's had a great run of success in terms of listens and downloads, and that is much appreciated for a first episode with Chase. I was his first guest. It's completely different from GBB Live because Chase is a different guy, and I mean that in a good way, and he's different from me at least, and I asked for it. I want it to be a different kind of show, a different kind of feel. So You Like Hoops is a welcome addition to the GBB Live network, and then Brandon Connor and Matt Preston are going to be rolling out their new podcast here in the next couple of weeks. We're excited about that as well. So we're expanding our podcast. We've expanded our staff. We at GBB are ready for the Grizzlies stretch run into the 2017 NBA playoffs, and we hope you're ready to join us for the ride. Again, thanks to John Martin, to Grizz Essentials. Thanks to you for listening to the podcast. As always, it is a pleasure to be chatting with you on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves. Until next time, I am your host, Joe Molinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.